Monday, November 29th, 2010. It's the Palaver Audiocast with Lost in Bronx. Episode 6, The Trip to Sedona, Part 2. Hello, this is Lost in Bronx. Back in September of this year, my family and I took a little trip to Sedona, Arizona, which is across the state from us. We met up with Mrs. Bronx's parents, who were out there on vacation. I covered all that in episode 5, by the end of which, we had just finished an exhausting visit to a local zoo. So, let's get on with part 2, shall we?
Okay, so we got back from the zoo. We were all pretty tired, or at least I was, and Mrs. Bronx was. Little Bronx wanted to go into the pool, and the elder Bronxes, I guess they wanted to go in as well. The elder Mr. Bronx, he's got a bad back, and he likes to hit the jacuzzi or the hot tub or whatever, whenever he can. He's got one at home that he uses every day, and I guess it helps him quite a bit. So that was definitely on the agenda for him, no matter what. So they went into the pool, and I guess had a real blast. They were in there for a long time, you know, maybe an hour and a half or more, while Mrs. Bronx and I stayed in the room and just watched some shitty disaster movie. That volcano one with who was it? Tommy Lee Jones and Don Cheadle's in it, and I don't know who else, but it was painful, and they, you know, there was nothing but commercials and stuff. I'm not used to commercials. We don't have TV at home, and I haven't watched it in a long, long time, and it's just god-awful. It's painful. But, you know, the movie itself didn't help. Later on, we went out to eat, and we went to a place called the Red Planet Diner, and you know, it's got all this cheesy, tacky science fiction stuff all over. You know, it's got black and white photos of cheesy B black and white movies from the 50s, 40s, and 50s. You know, you got your Plan 9 from Outer Space, and you got your, you know, The Brain That Wouldn't Die, and all this other crap. Really kitschy stuff. And the tables were laminated photos like that, and you know, and then they had, like, you know, spaceships and planets, paper mache junk hanging from the ceiling. I mean, it's really, really tacky. You know, I mean, you wouldn't think of it as being a place you'd necessarily want to dine in, especially if you're looking for a decent meal. But their menu was pretty big, and it was kind of a mix of American and Mexican style foods. You know, they had, you know, things like some really nice burgers and, you know, meatloaf and stuff, all the way to veggie lasagnas, as well as a pretty good assortment of Mexican foods, chili rellenos and, you know, your burros and, you know, tacos and junk. So, at any rate, turns out the food is actually really good. So, if you're ever in Sedona and you're looking for a good meal, but you're not too concerned about the ambiance, I do recommend the Red Planet Diner on West 89A. That was pretty good. The waiter was really, really good. And, you know, the service and the food were good. The ambiance was, well, I guess if you're into that sort of thing, maybe it's really cool. Right now I'm outside. I'm actually sitting in our car in the parking lot. It is 3:45 in the morning. I woke up about 2 and couldn't fall back asleep. I didn't make the reservations, and as a result, the room situation is abysmal with regards to the beds. We have 2 twin beds that they have the nerve to call queen beds. I think they call them queens anyway, but they're really twins for the 3 of us, and none of us are sleeping well, except we're doing our best for little Bronx. He's got one to himself. It's actually kind of big for him because he's got a little single back at home, but Mrs. Bronx and I are not doing well. She slept on the floor last night because she, you know, it's just too small. We're too crowded. And, you know, she had to get some sleep. So I slept with little Bronx for much of the night. And then I switched to the floor, but I couldn't fall asleep. So I'm up now. I'm up for the day. And maybe I'll take a nap later and while they're out and about. But this is not cool. And this is one of the things that you encounter when you're traveling that are just, you know, unpleasant. You know, you get to these places, you get to them, and it seems at first so cool, so luxurious. You go into these rooms, and they're so nice and clean and different, and, you know, someone else is going to be cleaning up your mess, and this is all really enticing and special seeming. But the reality of it is, it's far out of our routine. The things that I take for granted are not available. I don't have my computer with me. And that's turned out to be a real hardship. I wanted to get some editing of this audio done early on because there's a lot of it. I've got hours and hours and hours of it to plow through. And, you know, there's just so much to do, and I got downtime. I have not, you know, time when there's nothing to do. But these are not Linux machines, and that's what I run, and I have all my equipment set up. You know, I could just plug it in and go at home, but I can't do that here. And Mrs. Bronx has got her machine. She runs freaking Vista, you know, and don't get me started on that. I mean, if you're interested, there's an HPR episode that I did about her going back to Vista, and she had legitimate reasons to do it, but it's not my machine by any means. Whatever. Anyway, these are the sorts of minor irritations that I'm running into. But you add them all up and the whole day is just irritating. So I'm not enjoying myself. I'm not, I like seeing them, but, you know, even that is, you know, it's been 3-4 days and, you know, that stuff starts to wear thin after a while because they're kind of go-go-go types. They want to constantly do stuff, constantly do stuff. You know, I don't like to constantly do stuff. The kind of stuff I like to constantly do, it doesn't involve other people. I'm on the computer. I'm reading. I'm this. I'm writing. I'm whatever. I have very solitary sorts of interests. And so running out to zoos and running out to eat every single night, you know, that sounds really cool, too, eating, you know, and I like to eat. Lord knows, looking at me, you could tell. But going out to eat every night, my God, it becomes a freaking burden. You come home stuffed every night, feeling sick every night. This is luxury? Feeling uncomfortable? You know, eating strange food and then paying for it the next morning? I mean, you know, this is a vacation. This is what we call vacation in America. You know, maybe I just don't do it very well. I guess I don't. I never take them. I never take the damn things. We go away for a weekend, and that's our big vacation. That's what our family does. But others are different. They go. They do. You know, if I had that kind of energy, I wouldn't need a freaking vacation. Anyway, that's my take on it. And it is not even 4 a.m. I think I'm going to go see if I can find a coffee somewhere. Okay, here we are, 6:30 in the morning. What is this, Wednesday, Thursday? I've lost track. Day 4 or 5, something like 6. I don't know. It's a rainy day. They predicted it would be rainy today, and it is. Overcast from horizon to horizon with some really dark clouds coming up over the mountains that way. It has definitely rained overnight. Yesterday, we went to a state park that there was supposedly some nice scenery, and that park, we kind of had fun. The stream, if you look at the video, that stream, we ended up wading in there. Nobody, I mean, we didn't know there was a stream there or any swimming, so we brought our... We did not bring our swim trunks or anything like that. So Mrs. Bronx, little Bronx, and I waded in there and walked on it. Man, those rocks were slippery. It became a game of can we get across without slipping. And as it turned out, we could not just on 2 feet. Mrs. Bronx was able to do it crawling on her, well, she didn't go on her knees, but on her feet and her hands, kind of doing a crab walk. She got across, and little Bronx made it halfway, but couldn't go any further, and he was really scared, but he went as far as humanly possible, and I was really, really proud of him. It was also really dangerous, so maybe we shouldn't have done it at all. Probably a little slippery, but you know, I fell down. I actually did fall in, soaked the bottom of my pants, and little Bronx fell in too. But we did okay. I saw some lady take two full-on pratfalls, you know, feet in the air. Dangerous stuff, because you could crack your head and be dead, like, faster than anyone could blink. But everybody was okay. And sometimes you just gotta go for it. And sometimes things don't seem quite so dangerous while you're doing them. And it's only later that you look back and say, you know, that was really stupid. At any rate, that was yesterday. And in the evening, we went, we did a little shopping. Mrs. Bronx wanted to get some clothes and stuff. She went to the store with her mom. And they did some clothes shopping. And little Bronx and I went to a supermarket and just picked up some snacks and junk. And I picked up some antifreeze for my car for the return journey because it leaks. And let's see, what else? That was about it. And then in the evening, we did go out to eat. Went to this place called Annie's, I think it is. Something like, no, Jackie's. Jackie's, I think that's what it was. I can't really quite describe it too well. It was sort of a mixed Southwestern menu. I had a really outstanding chicken sandwich, and some of the others had, let's see, they had baby back ribs, and tilapia fish, and little Bronx had a grilled cheese sandwich, because, you know, everything's got sauce on it, can't have sauce, and, you know, we ate well, ate maybe too much. They had, all their desserts are homemade, including the ice cream. They have a pistachio there that is easily the best I have ever had in my life. Really, I mean, strikingly good. And I had bread pudding with rum raisin sauce, which I haven't had in years, and it was excellent. Really, really excellent. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but I really do like it. Guess it's the English in me, but it was really, really good, very well made, and so that was a very nice meal, and we have vowed to all go back, because it was so nice, and the service was excellent, and I guess the price wasn't so bad. The Elder Bronxes haven't let us pay for anything. They're even paying for this hotel, all to see their daughter and grandson. I'm in there somewhere in the mix, but, you know, it's not about me, and I'm fine with that. So it's a cool day. People are here. Just waking up now. I slept on the floor again. Well, I started off sleeping next to little Bronx. You know, I read him his story, and then it was lights out for everybody. We were wiped. He had a real meltdown yesterday because he didn't get to go into the pool. You know, because it's his ritual now that he made for himself. And, you know, it's 6:30 and he wants to go to the pool. It's getting dark. You know, he's exhausted. He has to take medication every day, and he's getting tired, and he's, you know, ready for a full-on freak out, but we got him back, and we calmed him down. He stayed up later than we normally would let him, just because I guess he was really worked up. We watched some really bad TV, really bad TV. I mean, God, I don't miss it. It's flipping channels. It was just painful to watch, painful. But we you know, we cracked on everything we saw and made fun of all the shows and stuff. And he likes that. He laughed and laughed. So finally he was tired. We were all tired enough. And we read his story and then we went to sleep. So that was yesterday. The days are kind of flying by now. At some point I did move once again to the floor. And that was hard. But I didn't get up at 2. I slept till 6. Well, I say slept. I was thumping around. My back is killing me. But I made it through and I did get some sleep, so just a couple more days and we're out of here. You know, at this point, this is the stage of these vacations when I can't wait to go home. Don't get me wrong, I like the food, I like the company, but it's so far out of my routine. I'm feeling so disconnected from the internet because I don't have my machine. I could use their machines, but I didn't think to bring a bootable thumb drive, and I didn't... It's neither here nor there. That's only one element of it. You know, waking up with a horrible backache from sleeping on the floor is not a small thing either. And I don't know. It's just not my life. This isn't my life. And then what I have isn't awesome, but at least it was mine. As they say, I could use a vacation for my vacation. But I suppose it'll be back to the grind, and I'll be complaining about that soon enough, too. One of these days, I'd like to do what I really want to do. Problem is, I don't know what I really want to do. Yes, I do. I want to go back to New York. I want to go back to New York in the 90s. That was my life. That was my best life. This one has been fraught with challenges I can't seem to get over. Yeah, keep on plugging. Everybody gets a time machine, but they only work in one direction. If you hear water running, it's because they have a like an open culvert. Very decorative, very pretty here, and because of the rain, the water's really been running. I'd say it is pretty, except that it's, you know, all muddy and brown and sludgy looking, but the sound is nice. It is a pretty place. It's a pretty town. Hard not to be with these mountains all around. Can't see them now. It's all misty. But I think that the tourism of this spot would drive me nuts if I lived here. You know, Myrtle Beach area is just like this, where the Elder Bronxes live now. They don't live in Myrtle Beach, they live nearby, but it's all pretty much the same. They want us to move over there, and we've more or less decided that we will at some point. Because Little Bronx is far away from his family, all his family. We have no family here. And he's getting to a point where I think that's not a good thing at all. When we moved here, we thought that we'd be putting down roots, that we'd make connections, that this would become, you know, our home, and it never did. That's on us, not on the place. Lots of people have lives here. Lots of people make it work. Lots of people move here and make it work, but we couldn't. They don't seem real. None of it seems real. I guess we're the ones that aren't real. Not really our lives. That's okay. I'm feeling... That sounds like I'm feeling down, doesn't it? But I'm actually feeling good. I have a gray sky overhead. I actually got a few hours sleep. I'm actually feeling pretty okay. This is me, normally. I'll try to get a few comments in throughout the day. We're thinking of hitting an Indian restaurant later. I haven't had Indian food, real Indian food, in years now. And it was our absolute favorite kind of food, or one of our very favorites, back in New York City, so we've missed it terribly. Funny story, real quick. When we were crossing the United States, that in itself is a saga, to move out here. We pulled into, it was Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. Didn't know what to do for dinner, we were hungry, and we come across this Indian restaurant, and we're like, oh man, manna from heaven. So we go in there, and we were the only ones, and they kind of looked at us funny, because I guess they didn't expect to have anybody there. But we were there, and as we were there, people came in, and the place finally filled right up. I guess there were a lot of people who didn't want to cook that night. The food was amazing. I mean, it's the best Indian food I've ever had. It was in Tennessee. So, you can find pockets of paradise. They really do exist. We were hoping to find one here for us, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, well, start again. That's what life's about, I guess. But it won't happen that soon. I'm not going to have that terrible breakneck rush like we did last time. So when it happens, you can be sure I will write about it. Maybe record about it. This water is really foamy. It's usually a sign of pollutants or contaminants, but you know, it's pulling down all sorts of stuff from the roads and everything. This is really a storm drain. Effectively, this is a storm drain that I'm looking at, even though it's big and open. Quite a fall. If you fell in here, you'd be dead, man. Oh well, looks pretty. So we just finished breakfast. Typically, the Elder Bronx says didn't care for our choice. That's kind of the pattern, I'm sure. I'm sure others run into that too when it comes to family. But at any rate, it wasn't a bad meal, and that's what matters. I ate well. They built this place with an astounding view. There's an outdoor terrace with tables and chairs and such, and you can just sit and soak in the ambiance, as it were. It's really, really impressive. Boy, some expensive houses out here, man. I'm looking at a hacienda across the highway. My God, multi-millions of dollars in these buildings. And power lines going off into the wilds. Very green today. Maybe it's from the rain, I don't know. A little hazy in the distance yet, but very pretty. Some workers down below. Working on the road. Manual labor. Not a one of them has a white face, but whatever. We'll wink and nod at all that, won't we? Anyway, here we are. Oh, a helicopter going up to the mountain. They have helicopter tours here. And that one's going up to the top. I guess you just hire them and they fly around and you can look at everything from a helicopter perspective. I would get sick. I get motion sick. And of course, it's hideously expensive, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But I wanted to take a hot air balloon ride because I've always wanted to do that, never had a chance. And they do that out here, but it's expensive and not budgeted for in this particular trip. Just how it goes. So I just got out of the pool here. I don't do pools. I don't swim. I can't swim, actually. So consequently, I don't go in water very often. I don't have a fear of it. I just don't enjoy it. And I certainly don't have a knack for learning. They tried to teach me back in high school. They had a member of the swim team give me personal lessons. And by the whole time it was done, she looked at me and just said, I honestly don't know what you're doing wrong. You just can't swim. So I wasn't looking forward to going out here and swimming with everybody, but, you know, kind of obligated, and I grumbled mightily, but I got in. The water was very warm. That part was nice, but it was too much sun for me. I'm exhausted now. Just being in the sun for any length of time really gets to me. You know, splashing around in the water is tiring as well, but they're still at it. They're still in there, and I got out, and I changed, and I'm back out here hanging with them. There's music in the background. I don't know if you can hear it. They have this canned music piping through to make it all more pleasant. I guess it's just to hide the traffic sounds, probably. But otherwise, there's not much action right now out here. A lot of people come in here at night because the water is still quite warm, but it's, you know, cooler out. And I guess that's enjoyable. At any rate, that's what we've done. We went out this morning. We went out to shopping. Antiquing and stuff, and my in-laws are, you know, they like to get their tchotchkes and stuff, so they picked up a few doodads here and there, but that was about it. And then we came back, nothing special. This is the last full day they'll be here. They leave tomorrow, and we'll probably stay the night. Maybe not. We might even leave tomorrow ourselves, tomorrow afternoon, I don't know. And then just head straight on home. The big Sedona vacation nearly over now. I'm not sure what to think about it all just yet. I'll have some final thoughts when it finally comes down to that. But for now, I'm still experiencing it. I could really go for a cup of coffee. I have some coffee left over from the, it's actually from breakfast. It's cold and everything, but I'll go get some more. When I was young and single, when I took my vacations, I usually just stayed home. Every day was like another. But I wasn't motivated to go anywhere. And when I did go places, I had a very difficult time enjoying myself. Some things never change, I guess. It hasn't been all bad, and it's not over yet, but I'm just trying to picture a time or place that I would really enjoy. I don't like this outdoors stuff. And indoor stuff that I enjoy doing, I do at home. I wouldn't enjoy them anywhere else because I have everything I need there. I spend more time in motels a lot of times than I do actually going anywhere because I don't like traveling. I don't like, I like it when I get there. I like seeing places. I just don't like going anywhere. But we do it for our family, don't we? The whole take off and do what we got to do sort of thing for our family. This is about the last place I'd ever want to come, this tourist, sun-drenched tourist trap. Not my thing. But this is where family would be, so this is where I came for the sake of my own family. I don't know what to expect, like when little Bronx is older, maybe has a family of his own. I won't be putting him through this. I can tell you that much, I won't be putting him through this. But it's a small enough thing. I mean, we're here, we're eating good food, we're seeing sights I've never seen before and likely never will again. He's gotten to go to, see his grandparents, to spend time in the pool, and he's enjoying himself. Now these things matter. These things are important. So I guess that's where I'm finding my satisfaction. That's where I'm enjoying myself. In his smile. We're up on a mountain now. I suppose it's a designated overlook for the mountains. And it's a gathering point at sunset, because the sunset here is supposed to be spectacular. Little Bronx didn't want to get out of the car. He's feeling tired. His meds kick in right around now. And so the others are off to get a better view. The problem is we're probably still a half hour to 40 minutes off from the sunset time. I don't know how long these guys want to wait, but sunsets are nice out here, but not that nice. Not for me, anyway. The view itself, however, is really impressive. You got all these rock formations all around, and I think it's good for them to go. The problem, of course, is that they forgot their camera, and the elder Mrs. Bronx has got a memory like a sieve, so she won't remember what it looked like. Mrs. Bronx, my wife, does have her camera phone, so she can maybe take a shot or two to commemorate the occasion. But camera phone photos are, what they are, which is generally not very good. So the place is pretty packed. There's probably 50 people here or more. Lots of cars parked, lots of cars driving by. This seems to be a really strong gathering point. Just people are here all the time. And, they all look like tourists like us. So I guess they ought to charge for this. This is right next to the airport here in Sedona. Oh, they put their airport up on a mountain, which, I don't know, I guess saves
time. And we just ate at Judy's, which is where we ate the other day. I had the name right. I think I said Jackie's or something. It was Judy's. And we ate there again. And I had beef burgundy, which I haven't had in a long time. I really enjoyed it. But I'm over full. Honestly, I'll be happy to be done with all these giant meals. Ooh. Guy just got smoked. Someone just grabbed his parking spot. Boy, some people with some expensive camera equipment here. You know, hobbyist photographers, it looks like. Some of the crowd's really gathering. I mean, the cars are still coming in. There's got to be 60, 70 people here now. Maybe more. A lot of cars. My God. Probably about 10 minutes off now from the, quote, spectacular sunset, unquote. I've seen a lot of pretty sunsets since we've been out here. They're just, the cars just keep on coming. It's got to be 15, 20 people have just pulled in the last 10 seconds. Here's another. Man, another? This must be the place. And watching the pretty sunset must be the thing to do. And not one of these guys are locals, I'll tell you that much. And another car, man. The cars are packed. Now the guy that cut the other guy off to get the parking space is pulling off. Too many people. That, of course, would be my instinct, too. Oh, here we go. The evening clusterfuck. Now you have people pulling into the exit, dropping people off, while others are trying to get out. Yeah, got a lot of gray heads here. Well, my in-laws are in that category, too. I mean, they're here, they're on vacation, they want to see a pretty sunset. Nobody would have thought of it if the elder Mrs. Bronx hadn't mentioned it. It was something she wanted to do. And obligingly, the elder Mr. Bronx had found the place, the perfect place to go, or so-called perfect place. Problem with the perfect place is everybody thinks it's perfect. Well, there's well over 100 people here now, and they're still coming in. 1, 2, 3 cars as I speak. If I lived up here or worked up here, I would hate this. I'd be trying hard to get them to put a gate up to keep people out. But of course, this is why people come. This is Sedona. This gets the tourists here. This is why they're here to spend money and why the town has money. It's got a natural resource, and the resource is beauty. See, I think that's the key to a lot of towns. They need to identify their natural resource. Every town has one. Sometimes it's the people, the skill set, the expertise. Others, it's the culture. In this case, it's the view and a culture that surrounds it. I mean, it's, you know, they have, this is very hippy-dippy here, you know, a lot of, I haven't gone into the nonsense stuff. It's less a spiritual event for me than it is a anthropological one. I mean, I'm watching these people. Try to understand them. Understand what makes them tick. And there's a lot of them now. I mean, in the time I've been talking, fully 40, 50 cars have come by or parked. No, more than that. I mean, easily more than that. And they're still coming in. Closer to sunset, they're still coming in. But the sunset is close now. Yeah, very close. Now they're starting to pack in. I gotta check on little Bronx just to see if he wants a view. So this is the morning that the elder Bronxes are leaving. We actually have another day here if we
choose to take it. So they're going to head down to Phoenix. Their flight is at midnight. And they have most of the day to themselves. I think some of it they'll spend here, but only some. And then the rest they'll go down there. There's a casino nearby that they were looking at to spend some time, spend some money. But right now we're going to go for breakfast. And, well, this will be the last that Little Bronx gets to see them for some time. So we just got back from dinner, eating Indian food. Just the three of us. The elder Bronxes have gone back. They now only have 6 hours till their flight takes off. But at any rate, we ate Indian food. That is Far East Indian, not Navajo or Apache, etc. The only Indian restaurant in town. And it was quite good, too good, in fact. I overate to the point of feeling sick. Kind of the story of my life this week. But this was really bad. But we all enjoyed ourselves. Little Bronx enjoyed himself quite a bit. Mrs. Bronx, this was something she was looking forward to for, years now. Because there is no Indian food available in the White Mountains region that we know of. At any rate, it was really quite a meal. And in the morning, we leave. So, I guess it was a nice meal, though way too much. Way too much. I'm very uncomfortable now. So here we are. Final day. Day 7, I guess. It's now about 7:30. Little Bronx isn't awake yet. He went to bed really late last night. He couldn't fall asleep. And we leave at 10, our checkout time is 10. I want to get on the road before that if we can, but it doesn't look too promising if we're all still in the sack, I guess. Or at least Little Bronx is, and Mrs. Bronx isn't really up yet. She's at the computer, but, you know, she's not dressed or anything and not really ready to rock and roll. They shortchanged us on the toilet paper. That's always fun. I had to go up and get another roll. I could have made a big stink about it, haha, but I decided I'll let that slide. The rooms all have these little envelopes for gratuity for the housekeeper, and I think that's probably where I should speak the loudest. At any rate, this is it. It's a cool morning. Place is packed again. Not a lot of people up and about just now, but yesterday it was nearly empty. Today it's nearly full. That's just the way it is in these places, I guess. Feeling no ill effects from the Indian food last night, although my stomach made some mighty noises, and other parts of me did too, last night. It's looking like a nice day for the road. I have to get a map. I also have to get gasoline for the car, top it off anyway. Although I think we'll be doing okay, more or less. I just tooled around town a little bit. Since we've been here, every other time we went with the elder Bronxes in their rental. So that's about it. I guess we could think about getting a decent breakfast before we hit the road. That might be nice. If so, I probably should wake up Little Bronx so we can get moving. That'd be a good thing. Either that or we just head on out and maybe hit lunch or something somewhere. I mean, if all goes well and we don't lose our way, we'll be home. You know, if we leave here by 9, we would be home by noon easily. We'll see. We'll see what everybody wants it to. But, you know, I'm really quite done with Sedona now. I mean, if we lived here, it'd be a different story, but I don't, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go home. Hell, I was ready to go before I left. But that's just me. What's there to do? I mean, once you've seen the rocks, and if you don't collect antiques or tchotchke art, what's there to do? Well, I don't really know. And I guess that's where a lot of people are after a while. Dashing around town, looking at the beautiful rock formations, feeling the mystic vortex. You could spend a lot of time and money doing that stuff, but we don't really have either. Time to hit the road. So we're back in Strawberry Pine on our way home, and it looks like we found where we went wrong last time. And we missed a turn and just continued north towards Winslow, which of course put us way, way, way out of the way. But now we're on the road that we had taken to get here, so it's a straight shot, straight back towards home. A ton of bikers out on the road today. A lot of them parked on the side of the road. Must be driving Harleys. A lot of old people. It's a weird thing. The bikers here tend to be much, much older than you'd expect. Like, you know, elderly, some of them, a good portion of them. 50s on old on up is average. I don't quite get that, but, you know, here they are. And they're out in force today. Someone, you're gonna pass me, guy? Nope, missed your chance. Snooze, you lose. We were coming up over a hill about 20 miles back. And I see this, all I could see is just something in the road, kind of weaving back and forth. And I couldn't figure out what it was. We got up closer, it's this little, skinny, older lady, she looked to be pushing 50 at least, small, on this bicycle, but the bike had that, you know, like packs, you know, like bags tied to it all over, so you couldn't even tell it was a bike from a distance. And she's struggling to get up this hill and just weaving all over the road, and like, you know, and it's a bicycle, it's not a motorcycle, a bicycle. And you know, she still had, oh god, I don't know, miles to go maybe. And you know, I beeped the horn, but she couldn't get out of the way, so I had to kind of weave around her. And then we kept going. And then just over the ridge is her other half. And this guy was probably 60-odd. Way, you know, looked to be about in as good a shape as me, which, you know, sitting behind, the wheel of a car is strenuous for me. So this guy had no business being on a bicycle. And he's huffing and puffing and moving. It's like, oh my god. They're going to find their bones on the side of the road.
Fun retirement.
Yeah, it probably sounded a lot better in their head than it did on the road right then. Okay, I'd forgotten how switchbacky the highway is along here, because it's going all along the mountain rather than go down into the valleys here in Strawberry Pine. Very picturesque, but I don't want to be part of the scenery, as it were. We were on the inside lane going, and we didn't get a very good view, but it is quite sweeping and grand here. Very, very pretty. Kind of a, it doesn't really have a western feel here, because there's so many tall pines. The mountains are just covered by them. Not sure what it is, except scary. Pine, we're just traveling through Pine now, and they're having some sort of fall festival. The place is pretty mobbed. Lots of junky crafts and such are there. Junky bags and hats and, you know, all these weird art project things that people make here. You know, like out of metal, they take their blowtorch to, you know, like, I don't know, like old cans and things and make stuff that's supposed to be artistic.
Oh, tamales on the side of the road.
Tamales on the side of the road, and slow down, jerky here. There you go. What's that say? Not Arizona Jack's. Ours is fresh. Fresh jerky. You know, I'm not sure I want my jerky to be too fresh. We're waiting at a light here in Payson, and there's a Del Taco down the road there with a giant inflatable shake out by the road.
Bigger than the building.
Bigger than the building. Yeah, it's huge. Del Taco, and it just occurred to me that means of the taco. This is a taco place called Of the Taco. Is it any wonder why Americans are hated around the world? Okay, we're getting to that point in the woods where I believe a week ago they were doing controlled burns. Well, this week they have a big sign up that says wildfire in progress, use caution. So what does that mean? Does that mean that they lost control of their controlled burn, which does happen from time to time? Or is this just another area and a fire sprung up during the week? I don't know. I'm not sure we'll ever know, because there are, you know, there are always conflicting reports about these sorts of things. But so far, I don't see or smell anything. But we still have 50 miles or so to go until we're in Sholo. So we'll see.
We're back. We're home, and like a lot of people coming home, we had a bit of a nasty surprise, but it takes a little setup. I'm back and I'm going out one more time. To tell this tale, I need to go back in time 1 year. Now, Mrs. Bronx works for a nonprofit organization that is run by some people that have strange ideas. We'll put it that way. One of their strange ideas was that somehow they were going to make a killing during Halloween selling pumpkins. Now, they got nothing to do with pumpkins normally, or any other type of plant. But this was their grand scheme. So somehow they lined up a deal to get 1,000 pumpkins delivered to this location, right? 1,000 pumpkins. Well, brothers, sisters, if you haven't handled 1,000 pumpkins in your day, you're privileged. But I got to handle at least half of them. We came late and left early, but I moved about 500 of them. And, oh my God, my back killed me for days. For days. You know, some of these things are like 30, 40, 50 pounds. Giant ones that we had to roll off like there were boulders and it was a video game. You know, felt like it was Dig Dug or something. So we claimed a pumpkin, a couple of pumpkins actually, for our own, and we took them back. Now, little Bronx doesn't like to cut them up because he thinks he's killing them, so we painted it. And we painted it up, and we figured, well, we'll keep it until it starts to go bad. Well, Halloween comes and goes, and the thing's still good. All right, well, we'll leave it go. You know, we'll leave it there, and, you know, when it goes bad, we'll toss it because he's attached to it now. So Thanksgiving comes and goes. This thing is still good. Christmas comes and goes. Now we're a full, because we got a couple of weeks before Halloween. We're now a full on 2 months or so after this thing, you know, after we acquired this thing, more than 2 months, 2.5 months, dead of winter, this thing is still fine. We're keeping it indoors. It's not in the fridge. It's in my office, right? Now, I did have the foresight to put it on, you know, like a plastic tray, right? But that was it. That was all we did for this thing. Spring comes. Summer comes. This thing is fine. And I checked, thump, thump, thump. It's hard as a rock. This thing is perfect. It's the pumpkin that wouldn't die. Well, wouldn't you know, summer comes and goes, we go to Sedona, and sometime while we were in Sedona, it dies. Now, we are in the end of September now, or just about. End of September, this thing went to. Almost a full year that this pumpkin survived out of refrigeration and just fine. But we had closed the house up, and I assume that the heat got just a little bit too much for it. And it must have finally given up the ghost. Well, we come into the house, and at first I think the cats had, you know, found an accident, you know, had an accident or somewhere. And by the way, the cats were fine, because while the house was closed up, we did have the air conditioner running in one of the rooms, and the door to there was open. So they always had a place to go with fresh air, cool air, et cetera, et cetera. They were fine. But the pumpkin was on the opposite side of the house in a room that was not air conditioned, and it was not so fine. And we could smell it when we walked in. And I thought at first it was the cats, but then Mrs. Bronx discovered it in the far room, and it was not a pleasant sight, you know. So I had to put on the rubber gloves and get out the
paper towel and the Clorox and go at it. And it was really not pleasant. Scooping that stuff up, you know, I lifted it up and the shell was more or less still intact, but the bottom was gone and all the guts just fell out. It just, you know, and then I'm scooping that stuff up by hand and, oh man. But anyway, and you know, the smell, so whatever. The cleanup went pretty well. And now I'm on my way to the dump to get rid of that and sundry other trash. And then I'm relaxing. And then, and only then, I'm going to sit down and give my final thoughts about our trip to Sedona. So, it's the next day. It's Sunday. And, you know, day has passed. We're home. It's all history now. I had time to put it in perspective a little bit. We even started work on the episode that all of this will entail. Got over a gig of audio, raw audio, plus this, whatever this will end up being. So, my view of Sedona. No, my view of our trip to Sedona. Well, like a lot of things in life, there's good and bad, right? And the good. It was nice to get away. It really was. It was nice to break with routine. You know, I have a tendency to just sit on my butt and do nothing all day. I'll sit in front of the computer. I'll sit and read. I'll sit and write. It gets to the point after a while that you're, you know, virtually a shut-in. And you don't have a lot to look forward to, or at least that's how you think. You know, and the outside world, because you don't go out there very often, slowly but surely, very slowly, it creeps up on you. It starts to become scary. People are scary. Places are scary. Doing new things becomes scary. And it's nice to break with that, to go out, do things, to cross the state, go several hundred miles in, you know, a jalopy you're not sure can carry you across town most days, but you find it is actually a lot more reliable than really you were worried about. And to see new sights, climb mountains, look at beautiful things, new things. You know, these things are good because they not only put things in perspective, they give you a little elbow room. The world isn't quite so claustrophobic to me right now as it was. I'm outside. If you hear me crunching, I'm walking on the gravel. I'll stand still. So these things are good. And I'm taking that away, and I'm going to try to hold on to it as long as I can. It's real easy to fall into a routine, especially a routine of convenience. But, you know, good things, very often, good things are not convenient. Here I go crunching again. Very often, my neighbor just drove by in his quad, him and his dog. He's got a little white, like, Jack Russell Terrier that just sits on his lap as he drives. Very strange, I think. Anyway, I think it's good to break with routine, especially routines of convenience. Routines that we have assembled simply because, you know, expediency. Because we need to do certain things, so we get into this habit of doing the same thing over and over, day after day. And when you look at this objectively, which you very often cannot do when you're in the midst of it, you see that a great deal of your day, your routine, is not a pleasant thing. They're not things you would want to do if you had a choice. So the vast majority of your waking life is spent doing things you just don't like or maybe hate. And it's nice to break with that. Sedona gave me that. Okay, that's on the good side. On the bad side, it's a tourist trap. You know, I mean, I walked in, or we walked in, we drove in, and they're just all over the place. And no matter where you go, there they are. And you're one of them. That's the hardest part, to know that I'm one of these guys. Why do tourists bother me so much? Maybe because many of them are there to, quote, soak up the sights, unquote. They're there to see Sedona, to do Sedona, because it's so pretty. People come from, obviously, as I saw, people come from all over the world to see the sights. Maybe because those sights are not so common in other places. Okay, that's fine. I mean, I'd never seen anything quite like them. And I live here in Arizona. That's fair enough. But the thing that bothers me is they basically monetize a natural resource. The beauty of the place is monetized. It is a commodity. And like many other natural resources, oil, wood, raw minerals, all of this stuff, it is monetized, it is bought and sold. You know, you could get tours and you know, go see the sites. Many of these places, either if you're not familiar with them, or some of them are even private, and you can't go see them unless you buy into the tour. I don't like that. I don't think that's necessarily the way things ought to be. But that is the way things are there and in many, many other places. So that bothers me to see all that. To see the trinket shops marring. Sorry about the wind. It's probably not good on the microphone here. To see the trinket shops and there are these Jeeps there. It's a Jeep tour. They have a whole fleet of pink Jeeps. Actually, kind of a good idea. They're instantly recognizable. Ugly as hell, but you see them no matter where they are, and you know exactly what they are, which is, you know, it's a very, very good idea from a marketing standpoint. But anyway, the point I'm getting at is you have this stuff now marring the beauty of the place. You have a great deal of housing. You have beautiful, beautiful new homes going up there. You also have some old dumps here and there, little pockets of decay, so to speak. That's fine. That's every place has that. But, you know, they make the place beautiful. It's an artificial beauty, like a rock garden, because certain things they don't allow in town. There's no Walmart, there's no Home Depot, there's no, you know, big chain outlets or ugly kinds of stores or businesses. And yet, the town depends on these things. It depends on Home Depot. It depends on Walmart for affordable clothes. Don't talk to me about the bad that Walmart does to local economies. I know about that stuff, but the fact is we've grown dependent on it, just like we've grown dependent on the internal combustion engine. I could go on for hours about how much I hate cars and trucks and what it's done to our country and our world, but the fact is that's the reality of it. That's where we are. And that's where we are with things like Walmart and Home Depot. And Sedona, like almost every other community now, is dependent on these things. Yet they don't allow them to be within eyesight because they're ugly. Those are big box stores. We don't like them. They're ugly. They're not this beautiful, pristine, artsy-fartsy Sedona that they want to push. So those gets, you know, shoved over to Cottonwood, which is about, I don't know, 20 minutes to a half hour ride down the highway. Not far in Arizona terms. Right next door, in fact. So Cottonwood has all the practical stuff. Yet Sedona depends on this stuff. So Sedona is a completely artificial environment. Wedge right into this absolute beauty, this absolutely natural environment. There's a dichotomy there that I find a little bit disturbing. I don't think I care for that artificial thing where people can walk around and just soak up the beauty of Sedona, the beauty of the mountains, and they are now, you know, these, you know, feeling like they're one with the environment, and then they can go into their little coffee shops and get their mochas and cappuccinos and frappuccinos and crappuccinos and whatever the hell they are, and we can go to the Wildflower Bread Company and have our marvelous breakfast, and it's all part of this marvelous, natural Sedona experience. And it's not. It's not. It's all artificial. It's all fake. You know, the real Sedona is majestic mountains and soaring beauty. And if that's all there was, it'd also be dehydration, starvation, and death, because it is the desert. And people are out of touch with that. And that's fine. It is a tourist trap. But that's what it is, a tourist trap. And I don't like that. Okay? So that's a bad thing. Another good thing. Here's, you know, we'll go back and forth here. A good thing. We got to see the Elder Bronxes. First off, Little Bronx just is crazy about them. He just loves them. He can't get enough of them. And they're on the other side of the country right now. Well, it looks like that's going to change. We're taking steps to maybe move back towards them. You know, the elder Mr. Bronx, he's 71 now, I think, 70, 71. Really, really vigorous. He's got a really bad back, but the guy is just go, go, go. And the elder Mrs. Bronx is just about the same age. I'm not sure exactly, but you know, they're up there. My own family is in the Northeast, in New England. None of them are getting younger. You know, my own dad is like 85 now. You know, when we first moved away, I said, I don't know if I want to go. My parents are getting so much older. You know, at some point, things are going to take a turn for the worse, and I'm going to be stuck on the other side of the country, probably with no money to go traveling back east to see them when they need me the most. And a friend of ours said, you know, you're saying you shouldn't go because you don't want to be away from them while they're alive, but in fact, you're waiting for them to die. And you shouldn't wait for someone's death to set you free. You should do what you got to do. You know, that made a lot of sense to us at the time, and we left. Well, we did our thing. We had our shot. And to be honest, things haven't been great here. And I'll go into that in detail some other time. But with things changing and with their age increasing and health decreasing, I don't feel comfortable being out here so far away. What can I do for them? Not a damn thing. Not a damn thing. We all know there's nothing you can do, right? Except be there. That's all they want. And I'm not. And I guess that bothers me. I don't know why. Honestly, I don't know why. I could tell you stories that might get you agreeing with me when I say I don't really owe them a whole hell of a lot. But it does bother me. Maybe because that's not the kind of guy I want to be. I don't know. At any rate, back to Sedona and the Elder Bronxes. Mrs. Bronx, like many daughters, has a love-hate relationship with her mom. Her mom, on the one hand, she adores, and on the other hand, drives her nuts. And the drives her nuts part sometimes waxes and other times wanes. By the time we left, it was time to leave. Now, if we end up moving closer to them, we're going to have to reevaluate that relationship, or at least she will. But it was good for her to see them. Good to see her dad. Good to see her mom. I like those guys. They're tops in my book. I mean, yes, they can both drive me a little nuts too sometimes, but only sometimes. And trust me when I say that's something, you know, because people very often drive me nuts all the time. So I like them, and I really like being around them. And most importantly, I like my son being around them. That's important to him. It's important to them. It's important to me. So I'm happy about that visit with them. That was a good thing. Bad thing, being away from home. I don't like being away from my routine. As much as I was saying about my routine and your routine and everybody's routine, when they get claustrophobic, when they get to be like a wool coat on a summer day, that's bad. By the same token, I like having my freaking computer, right? I was stuck on my wife's Vista machine. It was driving me nuts, you know? Yeah, I brought a live CD. That damn thing, it was slow, it was clunky. I probably should have had, you know, used UNet booting and put something on a thumb drive. I didn't. It was a lot of aggravation. I was able to get on and, you know, once or twice I went on the IRC and I checked my email, and that was the extent of it. So that was a bad. I don't like being disconnected from my online life, I guess. It's not much. you know, I don't spend every waking moment on the net by any means, but it's important to me. And I felt disconnected. So that was a bad. Good. The restaurants, the food, fantastic. Fantastic. We ate great every day. Bad. The restaurants, the food. I overate every day. You've all done it, I'm sure. You go someplace where, you know, you can go out and get the food all the time. And you have that beautiful, rich meal that first night. And it's just, oh, it's dreamy. It's wonderful. Then the next night, again, oh, you're living, you know, loving life. But by the time you're done, you've been eating rich food every day. And you want to friggin' die. You know, I don't know how it happens. But at some point, you just want a freaking peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You don't want to deal with these giant meals, you know, with these rich soups and incredible bread and these entrees that are to die for. You get sick of it. You really do get sick of it. And it makes, you know, I got sick of being full. I mean, sickeningly full. And it happens in a surprising fashion. You eat, you eat, you eat. And you don't think you're getting full until you stand up. And then you just want to stare at the walls. I'm happy to be back where I can make my own meals and eat or not. You know, because the elder Mrs. Bronx, you know, she's old school. Got to eat at certain times. Your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner. And you got to eat. And she's planning the meals the whole time. And you got to eat, you got to eat, you got to, you know. That gets old. Most mornings I don't have breakfast. I have coffee. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with it. A lot of times I'll have a little thing for lunch and a little thing for dinner. I'll go for days like that and I'm okay. Is that a healthy way to eat? I don't know, maybe not. But I'll tell you, gorging yourself on every meal is not healthy either. So I'll be happy to be back in my food routine too. What else? I was happy to see little Bronx break his own routine. Now I put that in a separate category because that poor guy, I won't go into the details, but he's pretty damn isolated out here. And it was nice to see him see new things, experience new things, and have something to do that isn't boring. He's bored almost all day long. I do my best, but if I'm going to be frank, my best isn't all that great. And this was a nice change of pace. So, Mrs. Bronx, I think she needed a break from work. So I'll put this in the same category. I'm glad that she really got a chance not to think about her job, which is not awesome anymore. It was, and then like a light switch being switched off, it suddenly wasn't anymore. And it sucks when that happens, but that's where we are. And she had a whole week where she had other things to think about. Even if some of them weren't pleasant, like her relationship with her mom, complex as it is, it was good that she was able to have another thing to focus on, and I'm happy about that. So those were good things. Bad things, being out in the sun all the time. I don't do sun very well. I'm my pale face, and, you know, because I have a sedentary lifestyle that's indoors mostly, I really don't react well to the sun. So I didn't like that much. The day before we left, everybody got sunburned, except me. We were in the pool. I hate the pool, by the way. I hate swimming. I don't swim. I can't swim. So I just splash around and feel like an idiot. But it was kind of expected, you know. Little Bronx wanted me to go in. The elder Mrs. Bronx was vocal about it, so I went in, right? Bitched and moaned hardly, but I went in. But everybody burned. Oh, well, the elder Bronxes, they've gotten a lot of sun. They live in, you know, in South Carolina, so they, you know, they get plenty of sun. And they've had a lot of sun, so they didn't burn. But Mrs. Bronx and Little Bronx burned. And that wasn't too cool. Me, I wore a t-shirt and I slathered myself with sunblock and I limited my time out in the sun and I was fine. You know, over the years I've learned how to deal with it. But Little Bronx has never been burned before. Now you got to understand, he tans beautifully. He tans like a Greek god. He's just this bronze, beautiful bronze, golden bronze color. He just tans up beautifully and rarely ever burns. And in fact, so rare that this is the first time that I can remember it happening. And so he had red shoulders and it really bothered him. 2 days later, they're beautiful golden brown, no pain, no nothing, you know. Whereas Mrs. Bronx, who ostensibly is darker, has darker pigmentation in her skin, she's still feeling pain. So Little Bronx is really gifted that way. He just looks, he's a, you know, I'm biased, but trust me, I think he's a good-looking kid, and definitely he tans well. So the sun was not awesome. Too much of it. The heat related to the sun is greater than it is here. They're about 1,000 feet lower in elevation over there than we are here. And man, you can feel the difference. You know, I'm sitting in the shade right now outdoors, but it's pleasant. It's really pleasant. There, it would be pretty hot. So I'm not enjoying the heat, and I'm not enjoying the sun out there. I wasn't. I'm happy to be gone from that. And just so I don't leave this on a sour note, let me put in one more time, in its own category, as a positive thing, the beauty of the place. It's difficult to describe because in time, after a week or so, you know, it kind of fades into the background. But the grandeur of the mountains all around the town, you get out, you know, you step out of the room and you look out and you just see this landscape around you. It's just amazing. And of course, that's why everyone's there. I've never really quite experienced that since we moved from New York. New York is not a natural landscape. New York City, Manhattan specifically, is not a natural landscape, but it's one I love deeply and one that never ceases to move me emotionally. And this, well, to be honest, it didn't move me so much emotionally, but I can see how it could. And That was nice. Nice to have some beauty to look at. When you just walking out the door, just casting your eyes about and have this incredible beauty. That's not a bad thing to have. So overall, there was good, there was bad. We laughed, we cried, and then we came home. This has been Lost in Bronx. Take care.
You can contact me at lostinbronx@gmail.com. That's LOSTNBRONX at Gmail. Drop by my Gopher space if you have a mind to. That's gopher://gopher.info-underground.net/1/Lost in Bronx/. Remember, you'll need a Gopher client or a Gopher plugin for your web browser for that. If Gopher's not your thing, well, it ought to be, but I'm easy. Check out http://gopher.info-underground.net:70, that's 70, /Lost in Bronx/. That's a web version of my Gopher space, otherwise it's the same place. I uploaded some photos and small videos there from Sedona under the directory for this episode, so feel free to check those out. I'm on Identica as Lost in Bronx. I'm not super active, but I'm there. And you can sometimes catch me on the IRC on the Freenode Network in the #OddcastPlanet channel. The music for this episode is called Get More by someone named Per or Pear or something, P-E-R, and can be found at dig.ccmixter.org. Palaver is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike Unported License version 3.0. You can use it for any purpose, even commercial. Just mention my name and pass it on in the same way.